It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome to Insight without Jack Stogler tonight, but we do have Randy Diller here, the retiring, soon-to-be-retired village administrator. Tomorrow, your last day, I believe?
Actually, Friday. But
Friday,
yeah.
Yep. Friday's going to be not much work. It's going to be the retirement party. That'll be nice. And the public's invited to the Cooper Brothers Pavilion set one to four. Okay, couldn't remember for sure what it was, but yeah. From 1 to 4 at the pavilion, and you can come and you can bring all your complaints now because he ain't gonna listen to you. He'll be glad.
Oh, I'll listen.
Yeah, can't do anything about it. Yeah. You're fired. At the end of the day, you're done. So again, Randy Diller, our longtime village administrator, the only one we've ever had. You invented the job.
I'm the best one ever.
Best one ever. So far. Till next week.
And, yeah, that's right.
And we can only hope that you're the second best ever.
That would be great.
Yeah, it sure would be. So So 31 years, right?
31 years and a couple months, yep.
Yep, that's awesome. So just tell us a little bit about maybe your family and what you did before you were village administrator.
Well, I never had any real desire necessarily to go into public administration, prior to that, my wife and I were high school sweethearts. We were both from Columbus Grove, which is not near Columbus. It's north of Lima.
Yep.
And I got into I have a degree in business management with some finance and accounting background in that. And I got into finance and banking right out of college. Spent about 4 or 5 years in that away from Fort Recovery. And then actually some of the people know the guy that was responsible for bringing me down here, and that was Phil Schumann.
Yep.
Phil and I went to college together, and then we worked.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And we worked together at another company prior to that, and he took the job at Mercer Savings Bank in Salina a year prior to an opening coming up here in Fort Recovery with the branch manager job. And he called me and said, not sure if you're interested or not, but we do have a branch manager's job if you're looking. I said, yeah. And at the time, Mary and I were in Tiffin, and to most people, Tiffin's not a very big town, but to somebody that grew up in a town of 2,500, and it was not really what we were looking for. And this opportunity presented itself, brought us to Fort Recovery. So I worked for Mercer Savings Bank for about 10 years as our branch manager here. And out of the blue, one day, Bretzi calls me up and says, hey, what are you doing for lunch today? Can you meet me down at Stolly's? I said, yeah, I can do that. And I walked in, and it's him and Bill sitting in the booth. And I knew right then something was
up. You're getting ambushed. And Bretzi and Bill are together. There's something up.
Something was up, and they suggested I consider, strongly suggested I consider looking into the soon-to-be village administrator position that they were creating. And it intrigued me for certain. A couple things
a lot of it because you care a lot about Fort Recovery.
Well, and that was one of the big reasons. I was 10 years with the bank, and I was to that point, if I wanted to move up in the bank, that I almost needed to.
Boy, you speak of the devil.
Yeah,
he rolls in. Not sure what I have in there, Bill. There might be some back in the back.
I just gave you a shout out, Bill.
Oh, I missed it.
And it was not. It was sort of good.
Well, one of the reasons was that in my position at the bank, it was becoming pretty obvious that for me to move up in the bank, I was going to have to move offices. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to leave Fort Recovery. I mean, we'd been here long enough at that point. The kids were here, and this is home. And
they got attached.
So, we had some decisions to make whether I took this job or not. So this came around, and I decided to, you know, it's something that I would think I could make an impact on it, and I think I could do a decent job. So I jumped in, and I still blame Bill and Bretzy for that today. But
well, and Bill's here to join us. But
what the hell is he blaming us for?
He was talking about how he ended up with his job. He said that Bretzy called him up one day.
You remember that meeting, Brett?
It was one of those deals similar to when me and Mayor Wolf first got on council.
Yep.
And you'd go uptown and you'd have a few beers and you'd talk about what the village needs to improve. And then this type of deal, and Randy, you know, was considered, if it was me and the Bretzies and Mayor Wolf, and, you know, we got to get somebody. We got to, you know, who would be perfect for this job? And that, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know, now whether or not you could get him to leave his current position that he had.
Yeah, and he was just explaining why that wasn't necessarily a bad idea.
It turned out well.
Yeah, and Bill, you might be able to fill in a little bit, but it seems to me like before there was a village administrator, nothing got done. Everything got done at the town council meetings. The town council meetings were 2, 3, 4 hours.
Yep.
Everything that needed to be done, discussed, everything had to, the village council had to do this. There wasn't anybody that could say, do this.
In my case, Mayor Wolf would come in after his work. You know, I think he worked at Crown, I believe.
Yeah.
And he would do checks, I think, and those type things. He'd have to approve things for Janet at that time. And that's basically Janet, you know, kind of ran everything because no one else had time to. So she would have a pile of stuff for that Mayor Wolf would need to sign or or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how.
Yeah, and that's just the signing. That's not even deciding. Yeah. We were digging up over here. We had a problem. What do we do?
Yep.
Well, you have to sit there until somebody makes a decision.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, and I seem to remember some discussion from some of the people there that, how are we going to pay? We don't have $30,000 to pay somebody. I mean, that's wasting money. And technically, they were probably right. You didn't have it, but it didn't take long to figure out that you saved a lot more than it cost you.
Yeah, we were missing out on so much opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, when the industrial park was just getting going, that was took time from someone who hadn't. Think about that. The village was run. No one to pursue any of this stuff during the days. That was it.
Yeah.
And so when Randy's, you know, when this whole thing came about, okay, so first of all, who's qualified?
Yeah.
So that limits you. You know, seriously, who's qualified that lives in this village? And first of all, who really cares about void recovery? You know, those two things.
There's a lot of people that care. Yeah,
absolutely. A lot of people care, but there's also a lot of people that's qualified that wouldn't have that care. So that's kind of how that all came about.
Yep. So I was just getting him talking about before he got the job. So I think we got through all that, didn't we?
Pretty well.
Let's take a little break, and we'll come back and get into the real stuff. I'll be back after this with Randy Diller and Bill Stugler.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Brick Street Tavern serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Their weekday lunch menu changes throughout the week and includes homemade pies and soups. On the weekends, they offer evening steak and chicken dinners. And catering services are also available. For more information, call 419-375-4888.
We thank Brick Street Tavern for supporting the Tribe 107.3. Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Cooper Farms, family-owned and operated since 1938. With locations in Mercer, Dark, Van Wert, and Paulding counties, Cooper Farms produces a wide variety of turkey, ham, and chicken products, along with table eggs and liquid eggs distributed across North America. They're also proud to give back through community initiatives right here in Northwest Ohio. Learn more at cooperfarms.com. Thanks to Cooper Farms for supporting local athletics and the Hometown Huddle on the Tribe 107.3.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery. K&L Tractor Sales is located on State Route 49 South and carries a variety of new and used farm equipment, including tractors, skid steers, hay tools, tillage and harvesting equipment. You'll find brands like Ferris, Kloss, Great Plains, Salford BBI, Artsway, New Holland, and more. They offer parts and service to keep farm and rural equipment running smoothly. You can learn more at kltractorsales.com.
Thank you to K&L Tractor Sales for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio.
Hello, this is Amy Wendell, Secretary of the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce. We would like to invite you to celebrate some of Fort Recovery's most valuable community members on Monday, March the 9th, at the Fort Recovery American Legion for the annual Chamber Banquet. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. with a 50-50 and attendance prizes. Dinner will be served at 6 p.m. and presentation of awards to begin at 6:45 p.m. Tickets are available at Park National Bank or feel free to contact any of the chamber officers. Tickets are $15 apiece. This includes your meal and one drink ticket. The chamber and local businesses look forward to seeing you at the banquet March the 9th.
Welcome back to Insight. We are here with Randy Diller, and Bill Stogler popped in to help us out. So that's a very fortunate thing, because Bill, as we've talked about a little bit before the break, that Bill was on the council when this all came about. And let's just kind of start at the beginning, Randy. When did you start, and what was the original job description?
Well, just, the job description was pretty open.
Yeah, make it up.
Because, you know, honestly, there wasn't any kind of map to go by. There wasn't, yep. You know, Bill and some of the other ones that came in with John, when they started doing some action plans from the council meeting. I think that was Bill's doing. And at least then they had something written down for them to follow up before the next meeting. And you know, I give them a lot of credit, because during that period of time, John's first few years when he started the Industrial Park Committee, I think, which Bill was on.
Yep.
They did a tremendous job getting that park developed. And
yes,
that is a key. That was a huge key to turning this town in the other direction.
Yes.
You know, we were always saying, we don't have any money, we don't have any money, we don't have any money. Well, you have to do these types of things to generate money. And, yeah, you know, I can say that when I started in 1995, our income tax collections was about $279,000 a year. And this last year wasn't the highest, but a couple of years ago was the highest collection, and it was $1.7 million. So yep, that's a huge difference. In the,
yes.
I mean, I know things cost a lot more now, but that's still
that's
a huge,
five times as much.
That's still a huge difference,
yes.
And that makes a huge difference in when you're doing things, too. So, you know, give these guys credit for getting that going, and, you know, it's funny. I started in 95, so we finished up the industrial park, and I was helping market it a little bit, and then by 2000 we're buying another 40 acres.
Yeah.
When people said, what do you buy this farm for, what do you do this for, now all of a sudden we need 40 more acres. And you know, now we're sitting there again where we got that 40 acres filled up and we need more, but
yeah,
it's a little tougher to find ground right now.
And even almost not making any difference who it was, somebody had to be there to do all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, as good intentions as all of the village council had, they can't do it. They have jobs.
Yeah. I come from a business background, obviously.
Yeah.
So I knew that it needs it. The town is a business. It needs a manager. You know, it's
yes,
a different type of business, but it still needs a manager. It still needs people in charge,
yep,
making decisions. And these guys knew that. I mean, that was, you know, John came into office back then with five things on his list, and I'm not going to say what they were. I'm not going to say what they were, but one of them was to hire a village administrator. We have to get a village administrator. That was one of the things on his list. So he was foresighted enough to say, this will make a difference. We need to do that. And I, you know, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but it certainly made a difference. It could have been anybody or somebody else.
Yeah.
But
yeah, basically anybody could have made a difference.
Right.
So, you know, an example, I was down at work one day, and Janet calls me up and says, I think it was Jim Broker that was in charge of the construction company that ran, that redid our revitalization of the downtown. So in that project, you know, we had all new underground underneath, down right down the center of the thing before anything was started, you know, sidewalks and the brick street and stuff. And I think it was Jim. I might have the front first name wrong.
That's right.
Jim Broker and
PAB Construction.
Yep, PAB Construction. And our engineer at that time, who was?
Dick Moat.
So Dick Moat and Jim are in an argument. So Janet called me up at work to go uptown. This is in the middle of the day. to get those guys to, you know, something's got to happen, because Jim or Dick Moat called down house. He can't do it like this. So then they called me up. I went down there and we just kind of talked it through. But those are the way things were handled.
Yeah.
For the village back in those days.
If he'd had a different job or if he'd have been in another town doing the same thing, you know, that can't happen. And there we are.
The issue, and I still remember it, was that Broker wanted to flood the trench to settle the dirt that he was putting in it. Mm-hmm. He wanted to flood it. And Dick Moat said, you cannot do that. That is not the way, you know, you can't do it. That was the issue. And they were absolutely in a...
And Dick's right. That's not how you do it, but that's the old way of doing it. That's the way they thought they could do it.
But that's just an example of how the town was run back in those days, and it's nothing against anybody.
You know, and I wasn't obviously village administrator then, but I was involved with the downtown project through Project Recovery. We got the grant, we got all that stuff. But I can remember a lot of those days with Jim Broker.
Yeah. Out there. Absolutely. Yes, did not.
And you know, and at the end of the day, the project turned out great and made a huge difference for turning the image of our town. Yep. And it was very important. So give them credit for that, too.
But it's just, and like you said, at that time, you was working through on the other side of that.
Yes.
But you was always hands-on. You was always involved in that. You always understood what was going on and what it was taking. So when you walked in the position you walked into, it was just a damn good fit.
Well, I told people when I started this job, you know, I knew the business side. I can do the numbers. I can do the math. I can, you know, handle the money side, and I can go after the grants, do that kind of stuff. But I didn't know a whole lot about utilities, you know. And my comment was when they asked, well, what kind of background did you have in utility work? And I said, well, the only thing I really knew was that crap runs downhill. And, you know, to this day, it's still true. You know, crap runs downhill. So, you know, but it's stuff you can learn, and it's stuff, you know, 30 years later, I think, geez, how did I learn all this?
Yeah, and some of it, it's good to learn what's going on, but knowing whose advice to trust, which company, which, you know, this guy can say this, this guy I can say this, and you kind of have to know who's trying to cut corners and who's trying to do it right, because, you know, I've been going to off and on to village council meetings for 50 years, and it always seems like everybody has the long-term good of Fort Recovery at heart. They don't always do it right.
In most cases,
there's very few people I've seen on there that were on there to bring attention to themselves. They're all trying to make things better for the town.
I agree.
So, you know, you can have great intentions, but if you don't know what you're talking about, so yet you know, you kind of have to discern who knows what in these companies you're dealing with.
And that's definitely true. I had a break when I first started, because we were in the process of doing Milligan Street at the time. The first year I started, we were just doing Milligan Street from 49 all the way to George Street. And Dick Moat was the engineer on that, and we had some real... pretty serious issues come up in that street project, such as the paving company. When they were paving, they were paving in the rain, and the paver got stuck.
Think about that.
He's pulling blacktop behind him, but he gets stuck. And then he said, hey, the paving, I was out of town that day of all days, but I was in Columbus at some meeting, and they called me, and I said, well, tell him he has to stop. And he said, and he gets on the phone, and he tells me that the base is not his problem. He's only supposed to do the paving. I said, well, if you're making ruts in the pavement, then I've got some that's 2 inches thick, and I got some that's 16 inches thick. That's not doing a good job. So he ended up finishing it, but we ended up not paying for it, and they tore it out. But Mo was part of the issue there, and Dick was a good guy. He was.
Yeah. Yes, he was. Dick was a great guy.
Our break came was that this was also the same time period when Choice One Engineering was getting started, and we had Jeff Putoff come into our meetings.
Yep.
And they were they were hungry for business. They were, yep. And
it was awkward because Dick was our engineer, but Jeff would be there. He was at every meeting for 6 months, I think.
Oh yeah.
Before they even got their foot in the door, and it was like, well, let's give him a project.
Yeah.
And then it was, and that's nothing against Dick Moat. Dick was always treated us real good, but yeah, and, you know, like when you're young and you're hungry.
Yeah. My first impression of Jeff was, he's a young guy. He seems like he's sharp, but he doesn't have experience. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they gave him a project and you figured out pretty quick. I think this guy's good.
They've done pretty good now because they're up over 100 employees.
Yeah.
They're all over. They're great. And so I had, you talked about having that person to trust. Well, he became that for me. I could trust Jeff wasn't going to try to tell me something that would just make his pockets richer. He was going to tell us what we needed, and it held true. I mean, we've had some good relationships with them for 30 years too. Yeah. And
it didn't take long to figure out that he knew that even if he did it this way and made more money today, that doesn't really help him because he's not in business for a couple of years. He's still here, and we it didn't take long for us to figure out that he was going to be around a long time.
So there was one of the people I trusted, and and I ended up back when I started. Ray Kramer was the administrator in Coldwater, and Ray kind of took me under his wings and helped me quite a bit too.
Really nice guy.
I don't know how wise he was, but willing to share anything. Yeah. Mike Niekamp was in St. Henry, and Mike does things a little differently, but he gives you a lot of good ideas.
Yes.
You know. And he was a get her done kind of guy.
Yes.
And that helped me to find out that I had to do things differently too. I needed to get things done. You need to push buttons sometimes. And I had a lot of good people back in those days. So
you said you kind of had to make it up. So what is the actual village administrator's job? Is it kind of spelled out? Is it just take care of everything and make sure it goes?
That's kind of what it is in the end. Mm-hmm. That's the short version of it.
But,
I mean, what I tell people is that the village administrator, I can back this up just a little bit. When I first got hired, I was the director of operations, which is what I am today. And I was the director of operations because the village had a board of public affairs at the time, which ran the utilities. And it was a bunch of retired guys, Bob Freemeyer and guys that cared about Fort Recovery.
Yep.
But did they know much about the construction and that kind of stuff? No, not really. It wasn't that, Bob could do the math, but other than that, probably not. So for 2 years, I was the director of operations, then I became the village administrator. With that transition, then the Board of Public Affairs had to be disbanded, which it was okay with that. I mean, we told them that was our plan all along, and they were okay with that. But I got 2 years of getting my feet wet with utilities before I was actually making all the calls, and it was a good transition. So the job itself consists of running the day-to-day operations of the village, do the planning, do the budgeting, do the, and obviously Bert does a lot of that stuff. She's the numbers lady, but it falls on me to help do that, establish what the capital projects are going to be.
Present them to council
and make them make the decision.
Like you said, you've been to council meetings, a lot of times. Think about the council meetings before, Randy, when we would meet at the council meetings and come up with questions. Okay, we need to do this, 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 and this. We're now a council meeting is, okay, this is where we're at. These are our options. Back then we'd have to go out and, okay, so this project's going to take what? Bill, you're going to do this. Mayor Wolf, you're going to do this. Brett, you're going to do this. Dave Wood, you're going to do this. Everybody's going to, take a little, and it is, it's hard to do something right when you get that kind of input. Yes. But you can't spend enough time looking into it.
Yeah.
Now, Randy comes to me. I say now, but when I was on the council after Randy got his feet wet, he'd come to me and just have everything just boom in order.
This is what it is. These are our options.
I recommend. This makes sense to me. That type thing. And it was well thought out.
And when anybody had a question, he had the answer or could get the answer very quickly. Almost always had it in his head because he'd already thought of other options.
The other part of village administrator's job is the personnel side. So I'm in charge of all the personnel, and anybody that's been in charge of personnel knows knows that that doesn't come without some headaches and yep. trials and stuff, and that's just part of it. You know, so I was overseeing all the employees with the exception of the police department, although yep. I worked with them. I wasn't of course, considered yep. their boss. The mayor yep. was, is still today.
Yep.
But yeah, it was good.
Like, and you know how that goes. No matter what profession you're in, so he comes in there and he's actually the boss of people who've been doing that position for 20 years or 30 years.
Yep.
And it's like, wait a minute, you know, how's this going to work out? And Randy's got the knack of, you know, he walks into something like that and he's not, yeah, well, we're going to do it this way. No, you know, you let the people. He works with the people.
My first employee meeting was a couple days after I started, and I said, you guys got to understand, I'm not here to make your job harder. I'm here to make your job easier. I mean, I need to help you do your job, so mm-hmm. tell me how I can do that. I'm not here to tell you how to do it. You've been doing it a lot longer than I have,
yeah.
So tell me how I can help you do it.
So at that time, it had been Charlie. The street department, Elmer.
Charlie and Elmer were in the water.
Paul Rohr was on.
Paul was the only street.
The only street guy.
And Jim Champ was the chief.
Yep.
That was it.
A long time ago.
And yeah. Janet.
And yes, of course, yeah.
And Catherine was there as a tax administrator.
Catherine Frankie, yeah.
So you think about that, and even then, I think Randy will agree, you had some people that would think, why in hell does Fort Recovery need a village administrator, blah, 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 it's costing this much money a year. But
it didn't take long to figure it out.
No, anyone who was close to the situation knew real quick
yep.
that was the best money we've ever spent. Yep. So
let's take a little break. We'll come back and talk more with Randy. He's getting ready to retire, but now he's telling us what he's been doing back in just a minute or two.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 is provided by Klingshern & Sons Trucking in Burkittsville. For over 50 years, Klingshern & Sons Trucking has been providing a safe workplace for their employees and maintains integrity, fairness, and honesty with their customers and business partners. With their dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers, they provide local and long-haul transportation with on-time delivery. Learn more online about Klingshern & Sons and their employment opportunities at klingshernandsons.com. Their phone number is 937-338-5000.
We thank Klingshern & Sons Trucking for supporting the Tribe 107.3.
Tonight's Hometown Huddle on the Tribe 107.3 is supported by Hull Brothers Case IH, serving farmers and families for more than 125 years. Located in Fort Recovery, Hull Brothers offers new and used tractors from Case IH and Kubota, plus parts and service to keep your equipment running strong. They also carry mowers and outdoor gear from Grasshopper, Cub Cadet, and Toro. Learn more at hullbros.com or call 419-375-2827. Thanks to Hull Brothers for supporting Fort Recovery Athletics and today's broadcast on the Tribe.
Hey. Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Miracle Lanes in Fort Recovery, offering bowling, family fun, and a place for the community
here.
To gather. Hey, Harry
yep.
Carey.
Insights going here.
Hey,
I got too many things going here. Yep. Sorry. Now we're going. So we're back to Insight, talking to Randy Diller. And Bill, you got some questions you need to think about?
Neil, Neil had made up a list. Neil's pretty organized. He's like Randy. He's kind of like Randy.
Well, I wrote down some things that people might be interested in
yep.
and that I thought yep. about over the years. So, and you don't have to even look at my list, whatever kind of things you want to think are important that people need to know.
When you think back at your career, what's some of the biggest projects you took on? What was your biggest challenges?
I've had a lot of these conversations in the last couple mm-hmm. weeks, I'll you can imagine. So, you know, I don't know if people remember, but I started January 1st of 95, and early August of 95, we had the biggest of the floods that we had in succession there. We had quite a few of them in a few years, and so the flood came about, and that changed the whole scope of what I was doing. I mean, all of a sudden now I'm looking for money to do things, and I'm getting a lot of, I won't say opinions, but a lot of thoughts on how we should make this better. And, you know, at the time we already had the retention pond out at the.
Yep.
But if, I don't know if you remember, Bill. We had the gate closed.
Yep. Remember
and
that.
The gate closed. We had a gate valve in it, a big gate valve, so yep. we could control how much water went down the buck ditch. Well, yep. the downtown flooded, and there was nothing coming out the gate valve. Yeah. So, and it was just about to go over the banks, and so we opened the gate yeah. valve, and it didn't make no difference.
More to it than just having a gate valve. You gotta operate them babies too.
So my priorities changed at that point, and realistically, I spent the next 3 years working on flood projects, and you know, people kind of forget what that was about. Most people can drive down there that were here back then and remember that the fire hall was on the other side of the road yep. as a hole. But yep. they don't remember the whole of the details, and you know, there was housing down there, there was other things, and you know, and so we got fortunate that we had a group that got together every week for the rest of 1995 and into 96 and put together a package that we got funding. There was a lot of flooding around that area at that time, and there, a lot of people were eligible. And there was a pocket of money that everybody could draw from, and it was like $1.2 million, which back then meant a little more than it means now, but we got it all. Fort Recovery yeah. got the whole pot because nobody else applied. So we were able to do things that we didn't think we'd be able to get done, such as moving a fire hall.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, it was a big deal. Absolutely. I mean, what the changes we made with raising Main Street and getting the yeah. floodwaters controlled there.
And I keep trying to remember back what it looked like, and I live there, you know, basically. So that was my backyard, and it is hard for me to remember what that looked like.
The stockyards and the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Don Leonard's apartments.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of hard feelings back then. Yeah. This, you know, it kind of goes about when they bought the ground for the industrial park, there was a lot of hard feelings because that didn't... Yes. When it's, you know, that didn't go over like they had hoped, you know, and the town, you know, rightfully so, people care about the town, think, oh, boy, how could you waste that money? Well, then, there was a lot... Back in those days, there was a lot of construction going on out of that end of town, and there was a lot of complaints about... What are you guys doing? You're putting all that stuff on the southeast end of town over there, and all that water's coming out through town. So a lot was done in that time.
And that project made a big difference in town, and it helped set the path for the next 10 or 15 years. But, yeah. So we did well with that, and that obviously was, as a single project, that was the biggest thing up until we got into the mid 2010 to 2016 when we got into the sewer separation. And Neil and I were talking earlier, that was one of those projects that was a necessary evil, but nobody could see any results from it. You spent all this yep. money, you got everything done the way EPA
requires. Tore the whole town up.
Just about. And at the end of the day, their toilet flushed just like it did before we started.
Yes. Yep. You know? It was such a, back when I first got on council, it was such a, every time you know, EPA, you know, we're going to have to separate that sanitary, and it'd be like, okay, so if it'd be like $3 million to do the town.
Yeah.
Well, it was so big, you didn't even think, wow. you didn't even care, you didn't even
how
address
are we gonna
it.
Do that?
You didn't even look at it.
Right.
You didn't even consider it when you was doing anything. So it was crazy. Yeah. But, you know, Randy mentioned that too. I thought about that. One of the things that changed was when we would get a Dick Mode in here or whoever. So there'd be funds for something. Well, let's say Dick Moat comes in here and he would kind of lead us on to, you know, there's some money out there from street projects. You know, we didn't have Randy around. We didn't have anybody around. So who's Dick Moat going to speak up for? He's going to speak up for, he's going to tell us about it, but is he going to push for recovery to, you know, he's got a whole bunch of other villages he works with.
Yes.
You know? Why is he going to focus on for recovery? He's going to tell us about it. Well, then when Randy got involved, he went out after these grants along with Kim Koenig, and you know, we'd hired Kim Koenig, and all of a sudden we had somebody inside the village that was looking for money for us. We'd never had that before. And yeah. I don't know
why. In those early years, it was huge. Kim's, you know, everybody said, why do you have a grants administrator on staff? Nobody does. I said, yeah, and we're paying her about $20,000 a year, and she's bringing in about $1.3 million. So I think we're doing
$20,000 a year.
We're
that's
doing
too
okay,
much.
I think we're doing all right.
You're wasting $20,000 a year.
Yeah, I mean, she and everybody around here was asking the same questions. How are you getting all these grants? You know.
Yeah, got somebody who knows what they're doing.
Got to go after them. You know, you got to go after them. No.
And you have to know the language to use to get them. That's the crazy thing.
And, you know, and I will say, unfortunately for Aaron coming in my place, that's not the case anymore. There's a lot less grants, and they're much more focused, and there's more criteria. A lot of it's based on income in the area. Anything to do with utilities is based on how high your utility rates are. They want it to be so high that you're helping pay enough. And you know, for us to meet the utility rate, we'd have to more than double our rates.
Wow.
Just to meet the minimum of what they would consider us to be in that threshold. So, you know, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Let me ask you a question. So when you go to some of these villages, you see all these solar fields out.
Mm-hmm.
Did Fort Kevry ever look into that?
We've had a conversation or two, but nobody's ever looked at it that hard around here.
I wonder how's it working out for Minster and
You know, the difference between the Minsters and the Salinas and them is they have their own electric.
Oh, I got you.
They have their own electric, so they're putting it back into the grid and working with those companies.
Yeah,
and
I got you.
We don't have that advantage. Now, I will say, you know, those communities that have electric, that was real good foresight on somebody's part. It's a pain in the butt, but you make a lot of money on electric, and that's their cash cows. So, you know, you're only... It's like our water. So anything that we take in on water bills, we have to spend. By rule, we have to spend it on the water. We can't spend it on salaries that have nothing to do with utilities. We can't spend it on street work. We can't spend it on anything but utilities on water. So they're in the same boat with electric. So what do? They buy a new truck every year for the electric department, but the one that's a year old now goes to the street department.
Yeah.
So... there's ways around that can work.
Yeah.
That can work. So, but we didn't have that advantage. So that, and that's okay. You know, a lot of towns don't.
Yep, we're doing fine.
So another question. So, you know, of course, so many things have changed since you started your job. Is there anything that you wished that you had a goal to get done that you didn't get done?
Oh, yeah. Jane? I mean, I made this comment. I was doing a little interview for the Portland paper the other day. She came over and she was talking about how nice Fort Recovery is. And I said, you know, there's one thing that I hope changes in my mind over the next few years, because I know all the good things that we've done. I know that. But when I drive around, what do I see? I see the things that still need to be done, the things that we need to correct. Everybody else sees, geez, this is really nice.
Very nice.
You know, I hope that I can change that when I start driving around thinking, geez, you know, this is really nice, you know. So there are a lot of things. You know, I wish now that I would have advocated, and again, I got to go back and preface this. A lot of what we did and the planning we did was based around the sewer separation. Didn't make a lot of sense to do streets that were the trunk lines for the true sewer separation until you could do the whole town. So where are those trunk lines at? Wayne Street, Elm Street, Butler Street, all the highways, all the main streets. So you couldn't really do those. When we had some money available, we couldn't really do those until we got a whole plan for the rest of the town. So I wish that we would have looked at it a little harder and a little different, and at some point we could have got Butler Street all the way through town, all the way out 119 East, 119 West, and had it done. I don't want it to be a runway like St. Henry, but if it would have been street lights all the way out, sidewalks both sides all the way out, nice street. That's the one that probably I wished I'd have done a little different. But we were thinking we got to get that sewer separation done before we can do these things. And
and that makes sense, because you don't want to do all of this and then dig it all up. And
Fort Kevry's got some guys too that can send some big, and they can use that sewer system to put to use around here. Hey, what about, let me ask, without putting you on the spot, so you can, what in the system? You know, you're working in a system, whether it be county commissioners or you talked about utilities. And what's the most irritating part of what you do? What, you know, there's got to be something that you think this is just not right. This system is screwed up.
It's not really hard for me to pinpoint it either, to be honest with you. You know, we go where the money goes a lot of times. So where there's money, we go after it. If it fits a project we have, we go after it. Well, sometimes when you get money from some of those sources, they come with such criteria that you can, there's no way that anybody sitting in this room can say, well, that makes sense. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Lately, it's been ODOT. You know, we've had a lot of good relationships with ODOT over the years, but I'll tell you what, here lately, we've got two projects going on with them right now. One will be built this summer, and that's the sidewalks out Sharpsburg Road and 49 South. That project will be done this year. But to get to that point, I started that project. We applied for it in 2021, and it's going to be built in 2026. Think about the frustration.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the amount of paperwork and the requirements that just don't make any sense. They make no sense. And they cost a lot of money.
That's what I was going to say. You're probably thinking, we could get that job done if we could do it like this.
I told
her half the price.
I told him, just give me $300,000. I'll get the whole project done instead of the $1.2 million that is bid out at now.
Yep.
Actually, it came in under that, so that was good. But, you know, that's the type of things that's frustrating. And we dealt with them on stoplight issues here recently. Yeah. We dealt with them. We tried to get Butler Street project. We had a grant for Butler Street, but then they threw all these right-of-way requirements and everything on us. That project was different because they gave us this much money, and here's the things you could do with it. Well, some of the things we couldn't do with it was pay for the right-of-way work, pay for all that stuff. That was an extra $400,000 or $500,000 that we had to bring out. They didn't turn any shovel of dirt, didn't do anything for us, you know. But that's the requirement. So we ended up giving that one back, and then we went after these. Now, why did we do these? Well, the sidewalk project we called is 90% funded. So we're paying 10% of those expenses now. That's the next one we're going to get, which is also a sidewalk type project, is the Safe Routes to School project. That's 100%. They can add all the fees they want to that one. I don't care. You know, but it is frustrating. It is frustrating because, and we tried to put that stoplight in for how many years, Bill?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I was over at the commissioner's meeting just a couple of years ago over that deal.
And it worked.
Mayor Kopp worked his butt off
to get
that done. But that's another deal. When they said how much that cost, I'm thinking, there's no way. Well, how many $100,000 did that project cost?
$300,000.
$300,000 for that stoplight. Now, they're nice.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but $300,000.
Yep. Let's take a break. Crazy. We'll come back and talk some more with Randy, and he needs to get to the community club meeting, so we'll be back in just a minute.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Miracle Lanes in Fort Recovery, offering bowling, family fun, and a place for the community to gather. Hey, Harry Carey, tell us more.
Hey, they've got lanes for parties and celebrations and open bowling on the weekend. In the kitchen, it's wings, pizzas, sandwiches, wraps, and subs. Plus a pizza wing and salad bar buffet every Friday at lunch. For more information, the number's 419-375-4274.
We thank Miracle Lanes and Fort Recovery for their support of the Tribe 107.3.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Fort Recovery Insurance Agency Incorporated. As an independent agency, Fort Recovery Insurance works with providers like Buckeye State Mutual, Nationwide, Progressive, Indiana Farmers, Donegal, Ohio Mutual, Acuity, Safeco, and Hagerty, offering insurance options for vehicles, homes, farms, life, and health. We thank Fort Recovery Insurance Agency for supporting the Tribe 107.3, WFRC, LP.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 is provided by Reasoner Energy Products in Coldwater, installing and servicing products from Train HVAC, Generac Generators, and Mitsubishi Electric Ductless Systems. Reasoner Energy Products is proud to support community growth through quality service and local commitment. Learn more by visiting their location at 445 Hardin Street in Coldwater or online at ReasonerEnergyProducts.com. Their phone number is 419-678-4858.
We thank Reasoner Energy Products for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3
1073 nonprofit organization. Support for the Tribe 1073 comes from Wayne IGA in downtown Fort Recovery. Wayne IGA offers a full-service meat counter with fresh-cut steaks, a full-service deli, and a grab-and-go selection of store-made salads, subs, and ready-to-eat meals. You'll also find fresh fruits and vegetables, plus a variety of party trays, including veggie and meat and cheese trays. Stop by for quality meats, fresh produce, and convenient meals made for busy days. Find more at WayneIGA.com or call 419-375-2865. Thanks to Wayne IGA for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
It's tournament time for the Indians boys team, and we'll bring you every game here on the Hometown Huddle, the Tribe 107.3 FM, and simulcasting on FortRecoveryRadio.com. The boys' first tournament game is coming up tomorrow night as they take on the Covington Buccaneers at 7:30 at Troy in a sectional final game. If they win on Thursday, they'll play the following Tuesday, March 3rd, at 7:30 at Troy. The boys are looking to go deep into the tournament again this year, so get out to every game you can to support them. But if you just can't get to all the games in person, you can always listen live on the Hometown Huddle, the Tribe 107.3 FM, and simulcast on FortRecoveryRadio.com, the home of the Indians.
Hey, we're back. I don't know if I've ever brought... I've never done this before. Have I ever brought
Bring us back
before?
Bill.
you did...
Have I? Oh, Breakfast Bill. Yeah, I used to do that.
You did 10 years ago when you were the first Insight guy.
Forgot about it. My fault on that one. So what's he talking about, Randy?
We're talking about everything.
We're talking about everything.
Yep.
Got so... you talked about the things that you wish we had gotten done. Now, was there stuff that we just didn't have money to do? There's a lot of... I mean, you're trying to get sidewalks everywhere and this and this.
Look at every street that isn't done. That's where things that I still... We have that list, by the way. We know what that list is.
You ever get dreamed out?
Oh, yeah.
So did
yeah. That's sarcastic.
Can't imagine that.
Let me just ask, back before... We had income tax. Before we had a village administrator, we chipped and sealed our streets all the time. We have done a lot of actual paving, getting down to the base and making it all good. Do you have any idea how many streets and like that we have improved? It's a lot of
them. Well, improved is a kind of a relative word, but... My wife and I were talking about this. She says, you know, we need to take a drive around and just every street and see what you've done on that, if you've done anything on that street. I said, well, I've been here 31 years. We've done something on every street in Fort Recovery.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Every street. So, I mean, it's in 31 years, they've all been paved at least once. Yep. So we've done something on every street. But, you know, along with Butler Street, I wished we could have got more of the blocks done and got more curbs and sidewalks in. You know, we took a stance back when Bill was on the council that we were going to put sidewalks in when we did reconstruction projects. We weren't going to force people to do it before then because we knew that's what we wanted to do. Well, now we're to the point where we're looking at it a little differently, saying we're going to do sidewalks. We're going to get them done. We'll come up with a deal where, you know, if we redo the street in a certain amount of time, we'll pay for the new ones. But it's just that time now that we have to finish things up, and we can't get enough money to do every street that needs sidewalks and curbs to do the whole street reconstruction. So so you might see some projects going on in the near future that would be that. You know, and this project we're doing this summer is kind of like that, because we're going to do it's going to be a non-traditional sidewalk. It's going to be a little wider, go down Sharpsburg Road, but we're not doing anything to the street.
Yep.
And same thing with 49 South. So we're starting that a little bit with that, but it'll be coming just to try to improve our sidewalks. And they're going to kick off the sidewalk program this fall and start with the actual work next summer on repairing the ones that need to be repaired in town. So got things going on. So, yeah.
Do you guys remember some of the sidewalks we used to have to walk on in town?
Well, and there's so many places that didn't have sidewalks that do now.
Crazy.
And I see that in a lot of towns where they, I mean, not exactly center of town, but good parts of town, there are no sidewalks.
So let me ask you this, Randy. Now you're done, okay, so now I want you to be honest with me. When I hit the curb when you hired me to plow snow, cul-de-sac by Jeff Reeser, did you almost fire me?
It was close.
I was the shortest term employee in the
staff. Well, I will give you a little bit of an out here, Bubba, because Jerry Guggenmiller absolutely despised cul-de-sacs. Despised cul-de-sacs.
I don't suppose Jerry would tell you about it, would he?
No. He mentioned it once.
He mentioned it once or twice.
But yeah, you know, so they aren't fun to do. They are not fun to do.
Hey, what about on the other side of this whole thing? What are you going to miss?
People have over the years thought that my job was all about people bitching at me, and that hasn't been the case at all. Now, did I have people bitch? Oh, absolutely. Any job does, but I mean, you guys both were in positions where you had people bitching at you, you know, over the years. Mm-hmm. It's just part of it. But overall, the people in Fort Recovery have been very supportive. You know, I did this for 31 years. I've had 3 mayors.
Yeah.
And I've only had...
Think about that.
I've only had, you know, 5 total utility workers, and I've only had 4 total street workers. So we have longtime employees that are dedicated to doing what they're doing.
And you've had some good mayors to work with.
Some of the best.
My gosh. Not that the ones before these guys wasn't good, but you talk about Mayor Wolf and Mayor Berman and Mayor Kaut. Holy cow.
They're all progressive thinkers.
Yes.
Want to get things done. Very supportive of pushing through things and getting it done. So I'll miss the part about dealing with the people. As the most part, they were pleasant to deal with. And they, you know, even if they disagreed with me, all I asked was that they listen. You know, just listen to what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And if you want to disagree, okay, you can disagree.
Have at it.
And overall, it's been a great setup. You know, I had a fella come in this week that said, you know, Randy, he says, we haven't always agreed, but you've done a pretty good job.
I think I can tell you who that is.
And my first statement was, I don't think we ever agreed.
Well, your daughter posted a pretty nice post.
Yeah,
that was incredible.
First class. And
very nice. Know, very true.
Said it exactly what everybody was thinking.
Exactly.
But we didn't have the right words.
I'm sure that came, that's one of those deals that came probably awful easy for her. You know, but yet, you know, kind of tough to do there. You know, she's
a good kid.
She's a great kid.
She was at an age where she talked about when I took the job. You know, I came home and said, you know, I'm thinking about changing jobs.
Yeah.
You know, as a banker, you know, that's kind of a neat job, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to do what?
You're going to be digging holes. Sure.
The reason I wanted to stop up here tonight is because I'm going to Florida. Tomorrow for a quick 3-day deal. Been going with Andy Stocker down there for whatever, and I ain't gonna be around. So I just want to tell you how much I appreciated, man, everything you've all done.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate, you know, 31 years later, I have an appreciation for the fact that you guys thought enough of me to come ask me to try to look at this job. And
I don't think they asked you. I think they told you.
Yeah. Well,
it was an easy conversation to have with Randy about trying to talk him into this position. When he actually gave his verbal, I'll take it. You should have seen me and Brethy uptown high-fiving each other. We did it. Because you said some things that the mayor had listed that probably don't want to mention
either. No, we're not going to mention them all.
One was to get up, me and him would go, we'd go up, once we was elected, we would go uptown and we'd talk about, we got to have a backhoe. You know, this is the type of stuff that town didn't have. We need a backhoe, you know, and this. And then we need a village administrator. And, you know, that was at the end of the deal there. But it was just so neat, you know, because we were, and when that happened, it's like, I'm ready to retire.
Well, I can certainly look back over the 31 years and feel proud of a lot of the things that have happened. Not that I was the only one responsible for it, because none of this happens with just one person. You know, our parks have went tremendously improved over the last 25 years. And, you know, we got some dang nice parks. You know, there isn't much that we don't have out there, you know. And pretty soon this summer, hopefully they get the Sawyer thing finished up. And, sure. And we got some good facilities. You know, at the same time, I've been around long enough that I've built two water towers before. and taking one down.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all part of it. You know, we got a lot of things in the works, and Aaron is going to do a great job. Aaron, he's got his thumb on everything. He knows what to do. Will he have questions? Absolutely. Because what a lot of people don't understand is that the village owns two cemeteries. Well, who prepares you to understand how to operate a cemetery, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. He's taking on that role. Obviously, I'll help him as much as I can. But he'll be good, you know. He'll be good. But he's got some big projects coming up. We're working on a water plant improvement. We're working on a sanitary plant improvement. So there's some big projects coming down. Well,
one thing I can say about that, and you know, I don't really know Aaron. I met him a few times, and he's a great guy. There's no question about that. And I'm like everybody says, he's sharp and stuff. But one thing that it was when you came up with a. One of the big things is the levies. In your position, okay, we need this, we need to do this with a levy or whatever, or we're doing this. You had the buy-in because you worked with so many people. You was part of every organization. If you could be a part of it, you was a part of it. And there's a lot of, yes. And there's, yeah, you got to leave here to go to a community club meeting. There's a lot to that, by gosh, Randy Diller says we need it. We need it.
Well, and the ones he wasn't in, Mary was in.
Yep, exactly. So, you know.
Did you ever fail a levy?
What's that?
Did we ever fail a levy under your 31 years?
No.
Nope, that's awesome.
And, I take pride in that.
And you didn't want to, you know, right. Because the first time it happens,
you get on the wrong side. It's easy
to say no after that. Yeah. You know, we made some big changes. Obviously, we increased the income tax to 1.5% this year, and in the turn, we took off all four of the real estate tax levies. So, you know, they got this thing out there right now about eliminating all real estate tax levies. Well, that'll be. It'll set Ohio back years and years and years if that would happen to pass. How will it impact Fort Recovery? Not near as much, but it'll impact our schools unbelievably.
Yes.
Fort Recovery right now, this year, will take in about $75,000 in real estate taxes. Now, that's good money. We need that money.
Sure.
But will it send us into bankruptcy? No, it's not. So we're not in a boat now that we got rid of these other levies and got a little better income tax, which, you know, we went up to what everybody else is at. You know, we didn't go sky high or anything. We just asked to go up to what everybody else is doing. Because right now, anybody that lives in Fort Recovery that works in any of those towns is already paying 1.5%, just not to us.
You know?
So it's been good. I mean, I've had a good run, and I certainly appreciate all the support I got over the years. And I look forward to being able to help out with Erin, with Bert, until she finishes up. And I'll give Bert a shout out. She's going to retire this summer too, and she's done a she's unbelievable, actually.
Yes. Yeah,
she's unbelievable. So I've had some good people that made my job a lot easier, and Bert was one of them. She made my job a lot easier, so I appreciate that. And
she couldn't stand to just not be doing something, and she knew she could do this and take all of that off of your plate.
Well,
it was either work for the town or hang out with Bill.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll find out here. I'll find out here in about 3 months how that's going to work out.
I'll go into her office and say, "Hey, when you get a chance, I need you to look this up, or I need you to pull these things." And I didn't mean for her to do it right now, but she always.
Might as well get her done.
That's good to know, because last week, about a month ago, I asked her to do something. And
still ain't got
I reminded her tonight. I said, "Do you ever get that done?" No, she's awesome. She's awesome. You don't have to be around very long to know how dedicated she is.
Yep.
Well, anyways.
All right.
What's retirement?
What's that?
What's retirement hold for you? What's your game?
You know, we don't really have any big plans. You know, we're not world travelers by any means, but we'll travel a little bit more. We'll take shorter trips. We might spend a week here or a week there in Florida in the wintertime or someplace. Maybe Arizona. I don't know. I'd kind of like to go to Arizona in March because
that's spring training.
Spring training's at.
Watch the Reds, yeah.
Yeah, I watch the Reds when they play the Guardians. So, yeah, I mean, we got seven grandkids, and they're all that age where they're involved in sports and everything. So, we got it'll give us a little more time to, you know, and if the kids down in Columbus are playing, nothing to stop us from going now.
Well, God willing, us Pikes can sit around here years from now and keep talking like this about the times. And
I agree.
That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Thanks a bunch,
Randy. Thanks, Artie. Really
thank you, guys.
Let you get to the community club meeting. We'll take a little break and be back and kind of wrap stuff up before we go to Sports Talk back in just a minute.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Fort Site Fuel in Fort Recovery. Right on the corner of Fort Site Street and State Route 49, Fort Site Fuel is your local stop for top-tier gasoline and ultra-low sulfur diesel. It's self-serve, open 24/7, and their pumps take all the major credit cards. Easy and convenient, day or night.
We thank Fort Site Fuel for their support of the Tribe 107.3.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from CSG Consulting. Aisha, they help businesses and individuals build smart strategies using financial modeling and analysis. CSG assists with keeping an eye on performance, managing business dashboards, and analyzing budget differences. They also help adjust strategies and manage change because what worked before might not work tomorrow. Their focus is on understanding all the moving parts in your operation to keep everything balanced and on track. You can learn more at csgconsulting.us or call 419-852-4049 or 614-551-4631. Thank you, CSG Consulting, for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
During Lent, the Wendoline Sports Club will again be having their popular all-you-can-eat fish fry every Friday night from 4:30 to 7:30. Along with their famous freshly cooked fish, they have french fries, salad, and several other great side dishes. Bring the whole family. Come early, stay late. Meet your friends at the Wendoline Sports Club every Friday evening during Lent for their all-you-can-eat fish fry. Great food, great company. Wendoline Sports Club's fish fry every Friday during Lent from 4:30 to 7:30. Sorry, we're back here and going to just tell a little bit about our Historical Society is going to do some things for America's 250th year this July. So it's going to be late July. They've got a lot of things that they might do. They're not going to be able to do all of them, but there's going to be a bunch of things going on late July 25th, 6th, 7th, something like that, taking up using the grounds at the museum and Van Trees Park and Fort Site Street. And I think right now Laura Winning and Joanne Glint are the biggest part of that. And if they can get all the inspections taken care of, the Opera House might get involved in it too. But right now what they have, the order forms are in the Fort Site Journal, and there's two different signs for that you can purchase for $20 each, and they're asking that you put them out on more or less American type holidays, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, that type of Veterans Day, Flag Day. So there's two different signs, and you can they're $20 each, and you can the order form is in the Fort Site Journal that's going to be coming out in the next couple of days, or you can probably find it on their Facebook page. So we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back with Sports Talk in just a minute.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded